It is the Open Cut Podcast, and it is Monday, April 17th, coming to you a bit earlier in the week this week. Coming off of fantastic fight night between headline between Max Holloway and Arnold Allen. But top to bottom, this was about as good of a fight night as you can ask for in this circumstance. This is not a fight on ABC, not a pay-per-view, but this was good looking fight card, and it delivered with pretty fun fights throughout the night. As I mentioned, the title or not title fight, excuse me, the main event was Max Holloway and Arnold Allen, and this was a super close fight. To me, it was kind of a mix between the second Volkanovski fight and the Yair fight. I mean, it's a very close fight. It seemed like Arnold Allen was coming on way strong at the end. But Max had done enough in the beginning to win the decision in this one. But both these guys went out there and looked great.
Yeah, I mean this was vintage Max. It's the best he's looked in a while. Well, I wouldn't say a while, not counting the Volkanovski. I mean, the Yair fight was just a bloodbath fight. I mean, that was back and forth, but he controlled that fight. I mean, it looked like a sparring match several rounds. I mean, it looked like he just was toying, playing, waiting, and he was tagging Allen. And yeah, I agree. I was impressed with Allen's gas tank to go five rounds, the way he was so aggressive, how fast he was going in the beginning. And like you said, in the fifth round, he was still pressuring forward. Max just, this is what happens when you fight a guy that's held the belt, one of the greatest featherweights of all time. And when you have somebody that's just at this point right now, a step ahead of where Arnold Allen is fitting in. But he fought a phenomenal fight with Max, and he had his moments. But Max just shined like he always did. I mean, I think this just again shows how great Max is with all of his distance, his control. He mixed it up really well too. I mean, he used everything that he had between kicks, keeping the distance, obviously the amount of volume of punches like he always does. I mean, it was a masterclass, man. And it was an enjoyable fight to watch also.
Yeah, it was fun. Scorecards are. I'm looking at them right now. I just pulled those up. I was thinking Max might have won that fifth round with the knockdown at the end, but every single one of the judges did give that round to Arnold Allen, and Max still won. A few of the judges had four the first four rounds for Max. So, I thought it was a super close fight.
Did you?
I did. Yes, Max looked great. Max looked like he was controlling the pace, the distance, but Arnold Allen was landed heavy blows, man.
He definitely did. The
They
thing
were
is,
thudding.
and those count. Max ate them well, like he always does. I
He
mean,
always
Max,
does,
just
yeah.
a chin, man, beyond belief. I think the thing for him, again, similar to Cheeto, he doesn't show damage very much. He's moving after shots. He never looks like he's taking a break from the shots, or he's changing a game plan. He eats it, resets,
There was
goes
one
right
time, yeah,
back.
it looked like he did not like it at all, but yeah, immediately reset, and then now he's back throwing.
Well, no, and I mean, who's gonna like any of the shots in a five-round fight the way that fight went? I mean, eventually something's gonna get stingy, something's gonna get irritating to where you need to change it up. But Max did that. I mean, Max knew exactly how to control that fight and change things. Yeah, Arnold laid plenty of big shots on. The thing is, Max's volume again. I mean, what did he that night? He the first fighter to get to 3,000 strikes, and also one of the top, I think, three fighters that absorbed the most punches besides Pierre and Frankie Edgar,
No, there was Octagon time.
or Octagon time in general. So yeah, set that over time. But I mean, this here's the question that we always talk about. And now, what's next for Max? Where are we at on a timeline with Max?
Well, I think he does have options. I don't think one of those options is Alexander Volkanovski, at least
Yeah,
not right now.
I agree.
I honestly, if he goes out there and wins another one against like the next guy up, I think you have to do Volkanovski again, but definitely not yet. To me, if Josh Emmett were to beat
Victoria.
Topuria coming up, then I think Holloway and Emmett is a good one. If Topuria wins,
Whew.
I don't know that I want to put him up against Holloway. I'd want to just save him for the title shot because Max has been killing all of these. Like Arnold Allen and Ilia Topuria to me were guys that like, let's see if they can knock out Volkanovski. They are stand and bang. It seems like they'd be fun fights, but now we're not going to see Arnold Allen against Volkanovski.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can do that to both Topuria and Allen.
No,
Edmund
I
just had his shot.
No,
like, he,
I
like
know.
he, putting him
I
up
agree.
against Holloway, we're not killing an up and comer. This is a guy who just came off an interim title fight, lost
Yeah.
it. If he
Older.
gets a win against Topuria, that's a great win. If he gets a win against Max, then yeah, now you get the title shot that he could have got had he beat it. But it's not like you're killing this prospect. This guy's had plenty of chances. It hasn't worked out, not always through not a fault of his own. He just from injuries, he just never was able to get
Yeah.
up there that high. But I would hate for someone else like Topuria, if he were to get to the top and lose to Max, then who would Volkanovski possibly fight next?
That's a really droughted division then. I mean, it's then you're really picking deep. And the problem with Topuria with that is, okay, let's say he starches Emmett, okay, in a perfect scenario. Topuria's resume still is not deep enough in the featherweight division to say you're going to climb from number nine to now fighting number one. That's just not going to happen because Max is going to get ranked up here. He'll go over Yair, obviously, because he's got to win over Yair, and he's obviously going to move up after this win. You're not going to have Topuria with wins over Bryce Mitchell, Jai Herbert, and Ryan Hall to say those are well enough to go and fight the number one contender against Volkanovski, who's held the belt and fought Volkanovski that many times. It's just, it doesn't make sense, and I agree with you. And also, yeah, you do not want to throw someone like Topuria to the wolves, and then that could be a very long road back again in the featherweight division, already longer than the one he's been taking of recent.
Right. So Max said he wants to fight Zombie. I think that makes plenty
Oh
of
my God.
sense.
That's a wonderful
I mean,
fight.
Zombie's towards the end of his career, probably one or two fights left, maybe his last fight ever. Zombie's
Yeah.
expressed interest in it. Seems to me like it's a five rounder.
Yeah. I agree.
Max is Matt. I mean, Zombie's tough to finish. Max isn't like a finisher. He's
Yeah.
he does finish people, but most of his fights is just out fighting them, outboxing them for five rounds.
It's an iconic fight also.
Yeah.
Zombie's legacy and his lineage of everything that he's done in the UFC, what he's brought to the UFC, and then someone like Max that,
And
you know,
Zombie's
again.
not someone who's actively challenging for a title.
No.
So you're not killing a contender.
Mm-mm.
So to me, I think that makes sense. Or if he wants to go up and fight just like a fun fight at light heavyweight, not a fight to get him into title, or not light
Yeah.
heavyweight, but lightweight.
Like he did with Poirier.
Well, that was a title fight.
Oh, that was. Yeah, that's. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
That was at that
yeah,
time.
I
Yeah.
think just go up there and fight someone that would be fun to fight.
Man, he's got
Maybe
a lot of
Tony
options. Oh, God.
Or Bobby Green if he gets a win here. I don't know, someone who would just be a fun fight for him.
Yeah.
That would make sense so as to not kill another contender. But at some point, he's going to be another contender, and then he's going to get another title shot, and that's how it should be. You shouldn't just
Yep.
run him back. You know that they're the two best.
Yeah.
If you want to have Volkanovski fight the best contender, it's Max over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But let's wait a few times between.
Yeah, no, there's no reason to rush because we've seen what happened before. We get a stack, you know, a stalemate up at top, and then we wait really, really long time for really good fights.
So Arnold Allen, I really don't think it hurts him that much. He looks pretty good.
No.
He landed some great shots. He came out in that fifth round just like looking like a world beater. One of these times Max is going to get dropped.
Oh yeah.
Like, you can't
It's
fight
going to
for
happen.
30 years and never get
No.
knocked down.
Well,
And I
especially
was
the way
thinking
this.
Arnold Allen might have been the guy to do it, but then even in that fifth round when Allen was piecing him up, Max is the guy that dropped him. As the
Yes.
bell goes, I
Dude,
mean, Max has got the chin.
The chin of all chins. And again, you brought up a long time ago, you know, winner. It's funny how many guys always thought they could just kick the legs out of Max, and we still haven't seen it. I mean, he just mentally toughness can take those kicks and get through it. You've seen how many times he's done that. It's just amazing the amount of damage that he can take and one, not show it, and two, not let it affect his game. It's very impressive. I've not seen anybody like that in a long time, especially the way Max fights.
So Allen's still in a good spot. He was ranked top five going into this.
Yeah.
Maybe the loser of Ilya Topuria and Arnold Allen next. I don't know where Ortega's at. Is he's hurt still, maybe?
That's a big question. That's been a big question. And that's always another fight that's always there for Max too. It's been a long time since he's got to see him, and there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, we got to see how he comes back and how soon.
But we just saw Yair lose to Max
Yep.
a year, maybe a year and a half ago, come back, get two wins, and now he's got a title shot. And I think the same thing could be true with Arnold Allen. You lose to
Yeah.
Max here, you get two wins against top five, six featherweights, and now you get your title shot.
I agree.
So that's how I see it going. Let's see. Co-main event. Edson Barboza and Billy Q.
Ooh.
Edson Barboza, dude.
Best
I
he's ever
mean,
looked.
yeah,
Best he's ever
just
looked. Body movement. Took
disintegrate him in
shots.
a half a round.
Took shots too. That's the thing. Billy, whatever game plan or whatever mental game plan he thought going in reckless abandon against Edson Barboza, that's what happens. You cannot go in there, stay on the feet for one, two, three rounds. It didn't even take more than one. But right out the gate, I saw how he was approaching and just thinking he was going to be able to continue to walk forward and take the Edson Barboza damage and then wait for a big shot to clip him. That doesn't work that way with Edson, man. And then you saw Edson waited, and that knee was so vicious.
Vicious, just killed him and walked away. I mean, and they said his next one's going to be better.
Oh yeah.
Can't wait.
Dude, keep lining up the highlight reel, because at this rate, it's going to be a whole DVD.
Yeah, he'll fill it. Yeah, so at featherweight, I mean, we're talking about contenders for Max Holloway. Edson
I was
Barboza is
thinking the same.
not
Far off.
He's not ranked up there, but I don't think anyone would say they don't want to see Edson Barboza and Max Holloway fight. That seems like it would be an absolute banger.
No, and the thing about Edson is he's won the two fights away from when we're talking about, yeah, let's match him up with Max or match him up with Arnold Allen, Yair, or whoever. And, because all the other fights ahead of him, he's a problem for fucking everybody, especially in the physical shape he's in, how explosive, and the way that he just fought right now. There's a lot of guys getting put on notice and going, dude, I don't know if I want to get signed up with this guy. Because if he does that, it doesn't matter. Billy Q, okay. Billy didn't have the resume that some guys did, but he was obviously signed the dotted line, and Edson did too, and they prepared for it, and he ran through him.
Yeah, I mean, and this is after Giga pretty much ran through Edson, and
Flatlined
Bryce
him.
absolutely ran
Yep,
through Edson.
exactly.
So I mean, it's just don't sleep on him. He's not going anywhere, and
It's always
if you give an
dangerous.
opportunity to catch you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and it's night night. That's the thing. Edson doesn't hurt somebody a lot of times, and then you just slowly see them decline. He puts you out. He normally puts you out.
I'll tell you what, I'm pretty impressed by the performance of Azamat Mirzakhanov against Dustin Jacoby. I thought Dustin was going to look a lot better in that fight. Azamat had every single answer. Got injured, still putting it on him. Dustin Jacoby didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That third round, he was just getting beat up, and that was a great performance for Azamat. Looks like, I don't know, undefeated fighter. He's definitely got skills. Probably gonna be recovering for a bit.
Yeah, that was a
But
brutal fight.
I'm excited to see him fight more often. I was not expecting to see that to say that coming off this, but I want to see this guy fight.
Yeah, Mirzakhanov, I think two big things that stuck out to me is one, massive power. Dustin Jacoby has seen a lot of big boys, has been over in glory, slanged with big boys like Pereira, survived, not been knocked out. It seemed like every time he was touched, he did not like it. It messed his timing up, it messed up his approach. He could never get inside and land combinations. Mirzakhanov, though, obviously we saw got tired as shit at the end of that fight, but that's because that was a grueling, high-paced fight and a lot of leather thrown. And I'm right there with you. I want to see, he's a ranked guy. He beats a ranked guy that's just barely above him. If he likes to stand and bang like that, let's keep watching it, because I'd rather watch that than a guy trying to smother somebody. And I mean, that's a great win for him. Dustin Jacoby's just got to go back, to the drawing board, man, and the clear Roundtree fight, super close fight. He was in there the whole time. He happened to be on the wrong side of the decision. This unfortunately was not a wrong side. I mean, he was just
Yeah, this was not a
dominated.
close fight.
Yeah. And, Mirzakhanov, I think, is a guy that, you're going to have to test him, see if that gas tank could be an issue. But also, he starts flatlining guys in the first round like he was before. It's a guy that you're going to put on notice and keep an eye out for.
Let's see what else we got. Tanner Boser going down to light heavyweight. Honestly, I thought he looked great at light heavyweight.
He did. I don't know if he could keep up with the speed.
Yeah, he won too much. He got hit and couldn't take it.
Well, and I think the speed of big shots coming in quicker than they do at heavyweight. Yeah, guys at heavyweight hit harder, but Kutalaba's getting that punch. It seemed a lot quicker than Tanner was expecting it to be, and then he just got clipped bad, and it was over. I mean, he covered up, and it was all she said. I mean, I don't know if that's the right weight class for him. I agree with you. I think he looked good. He looked in good shape. His approach as well. Maybe it was just a bad night at the office. But Kutalaba, man, puts another win in his cap. And I mean, he needed it because he had been on a little skid there, but that's how he fights. He's always going to be a 50-50, you know, coin flip fighter, man, because he goes in there so reckless, abandoned.
Yeah. And like you said, get or get got.
Yeah.
This time he got him quick. I just don't know if Tanner Boser's got a future in the UFC.
Age and timing. I mean, he's a 2010 fighter right now. He wasn't doing very well the last couple of years in heavyweight when he was looking pretty decent in heavyweight. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe give him one more at light heavyweight, see if he can try to string a win.
I would certainly give him another shot, but
yeah.
Ewan, put him up against anyone. Put him up against Azamat. I don't care.
Yeah,
I just want to see that dude fight too.
It'll be entertaining.
Pedro Munhoz. Put it to Cruz Gutierrez over three rounds.
He still looks great. That's actually the best I've ever seen in a fight. And against someone as dangerous as Cruz Gutierrez, whether Cruz Gutierrez has been, you know, yeah, he hasn't fought the level of guys that Pedro has as long as he has. Dude, Pedro Munhoz is still a fucking problem in the bantamweight division. Big time.
He hits hard. He's got that chin. Yeah, there was a couple times it looked like Cruz Gutierrez was going to get finished, and he's a tough guy too.
Yeah.
But Pedro Munhoz, dude, y'all must have forgotten. I mean, that seemed to be the theme. Max was saying it going into this.
Yeah.
And Pedro, Edson, Max, all of those guys really, really showed they still got it.
And he's sitting pretty right now, man, because, okay, the O'Malley fight, whatever, eye poke, he was on a little skid, but look at the skid he was on. Dominic Cruz, Jose Aldo. I mean, Pedro now has got some fun guys to fight against if he can. I mean, hell, try to let him run it back with Dominic Cruz.
Yeah, or if O'Malley comes out the wrong side of his title shot, whenever that happens.
Yes.
I guess that'd be waiting around. But
or Marlon and Pedro, man, that's a hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah, that one.
That's the fight.
Yeah.
That's a fight of the night, fight of the year, back and forth battle from hell. Because both of those guys, I mean, the biggest problem for Pedro is Marlon's height. But I don't think Pedro will give a shit because Pedro is so fast and so elusive. But he just – you see how he walked forward the entire fight and landed just leg kick after leg kick after leg kick. And then if it didn't work, all right, switch stances. All right, I'm going to lay a combination. I mean, he's still got it, man. He's so enjoyable to watch.
Yep. Great, great performance by Pedro Munhoz. And kicking off the main card was Rafa Garcia against Clay Guida, and he definitely stuck it to Clay Guida. That was as one side of a fight as we saw all night.
Yeah,
Clay he's game.
Up. Yeah,
he's one to take the damage and keep on going. He never gave up, but he never changed his game plan. Rafa Garcia just was too much.
I agree.
Prelims.
Another blast.
Yeah.
It's so hard, man.
We talked about Edson Barboza melting, Billy Q, but Brandon Royval against Matthias Nicolau finished him.
What a knee.
Yeah. Talking all week about how he was pissed off he wasn't on the main card, then puts on a performance like that, gets the bonus.
That'll get you on the main card now.
I mean, we've been talking about for a year and a half now how the flyweights are just putting on unreal fights. Brandon Royval is every time out putting on fights like that.
Yeah.
He's not always getting a quick finish, but he is a lot of times. And the ones where he's not, they are bangers.
The only setback and the only thing that of recent is when his shoulder dislocated against Marlon Vera. If that wouldn't have happened, or Brandon Vera, who would have known what would have happened? I mean, he might have won that fight. He might have been holding the belt. He might be fighting for the title right now. Who knows? And now he is. I mean, and to finish Nicolaou, one, that early in the first round, and two, the way he did, that's a statement. And yeah, now you want to be on the main card? Well, you're probably going to be on the headliner. It's done.
Yeah, I think he is going to be back up for the next title fight, and hopefully he gets a fight that's going to put him right there.
Well,
he's already got a win over Kai. Kai was like, they were trying to give Kai a fight. Pantoja's already up there. Figueiredo's fighting Kai. I mean, he's got to be the next guy up.
Yeah,
it's just he's also already lost to Brandon Moreno. So,
yeah. A lot of guys have, though. Brandon Moreno lost to a lot of guys, too. I mean, that's the cool thing about that division. They mix it up, and a lot of these guys see each other 2-3 times. So, I'm not mad about that.
So, yeah, a bunch of fun fights on the prelims. Which ones do you want to talk about?
Well, we had two retirements in the same fight. Zach Cummings, Ed Herman. Good God, did Ed Herman take a lot of damage.
Also had two low blows in the same fight,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And
no, it wasn't low blows.
I'm
sorry.
Taken away from
it was
a
head kicks. Yeah, head kicks and downed opponents.
Yeah. So had that happen, Ed Herman doesn't move his head, just eats every shot, doesn't care, has the hardest head, just beat down by Zach Cummings.
He got
Cummings.
Dropped a few times.
And bludgeoned, man. I mean, he was a mess at the end. Zach Cummings won in his hometown, retired. Ed Herman retired. Two veterans of the sport. Ed Herman was still the longest rostered UFC that they've had, and now he's gone. Zach's out of there. I mean, just threw leather back and forth, bomb. Didn't like his fake retirement and trash talking to the city, even though Houston did seem like a shitty town, the way that they were booing Kansas City. I mean, how they were booing half the card for no reason because they don't understand UFC. But Bill Algeo just stayed in there and just kept waiting and waiting, and he finally finished TJ Brown with a light shot. I mean, it was a short bomb, but it paid off. I mean, he's fun to watch, and TJ Brown's fun to watch too, man.
Yeah, that was a fun fight as long as it lasted.
Mm-hmm. That was fight of the night, I believe.
Maybe it was.
Yeah, that was fight of the night. And then Ed Herman and Zach Cummings, even though they didn't announce it, they did both get $50,000 for their fight and retirement just because they battled it out beyond belief, even though Zach Cummings got the TKO at the end. And Jillian Robertson coming back with an impressive armbar, man, getting the submission win there. Needed that bad. That girl has been on the wrong side of a lot of big girls. So she locked one up that night too, which was nice to see.
Yeah, and I know that there was a lot of argument over whether Rodriguez had tapped, but I feel like she did.
I think she was going to end up tapping.
I feel like that fight was over. She tried to tap, maybe decided she's going to hold on a little bit longer, but that fight was over.
Yep.
All right, so really, another really fight fun night. Fight night, and another great performance by Max Holloway. Did cash on that one, so that was also good.
Yeah, very nice.
This week we've got a fight night with heavyweight headliners. Usually means the fight night's not too great. This one's all right. I wouldn't say it's too great.
Allegedly.
But we have a headline fight between Sergey Pavlovich and Curtis Blaydes. Honestly, this is about as good of a fight as I think you could make in the division. Sergey has been on a rocket ship, knocking everyone out coming up. Curtis Blaydes has been knocking everyone out at the top.
Yep.
Pavlovich has the power. We've seen Curtis Blaydes get knocked out by Derek Lewis and Francis Ngannou.
Yep.
He can get knocked out. It seems like if you don't knock him out, you lose to him. So that's how this fight goes. Either Sergey gets that finish or Sergey loses. And we will find out. And I honestly will not be surprised either way. Looks like Sergey's got that power, same as Derek or Francis.
Yeah.
And Curtis Blaydes, I would pick against pretty much anyone. Maybe not John Jones right now. So
it sucks to have to say that. Yeah, I mean, I'm picking Pavlovich just because of the power, how big he is, what he's done of recent. But we've seen that with other guys. We saw that with Chris Daukaus, what he was doing up there. We saw what Curtis Blades did to Drago. My biggest thing is I could totally see Curtis making this a wrestling heavy like he always does, smothering Pavlovich, not letting him throw big punches, controlling it. You know, I don't think he could finish him. Who knows? He might. But I think in my heart, I think Pavlovich can go in there and try to pull a Derek Lewis and wait for a big shot, uncork it, hurt Derek or hurt Curtis. Maybe, you know, even get him in a couple rounds where he's just worn him out or beat him up so bad that he can finally wait for the kill shot. I'm going to pick Pavlovich just because there's so much around him and he's such a big guy. I mean, that's the thing. He's a big, strong guy. Curtis is also, but can he hold him down? And also, can he stay awake in the first round? That's the big thing, is if Pavlovich goes off and drops bombs in the first round, Curtis is probably in a lot of trouble.
And he's been known to. I mean, let's see. Every finish or every fight in the UFC is a first round finish.
Yeah.
So he.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something's got to give.
Yeah, and I think that's the question mark for both these guys is Curtis going to get depleted right out the gate, or is he going to be able to dodge the shots, weather the storm in the first round, maybe even the second, and then take control, wear Pavlovich down, and take over the fight with his wrestling, and maybe even get him so tired that he can maybe finish him. I just don't see Curtis finishing him just because I think he's going to have to take some damage. But saw that in the Jarzinho fight. He was able to survive Jarzinho's power, and you saw what Curtis did.
Co-main event between Song Yadong and Ricky Simone. This one also could go either way. I think Ricky Simone is, yeah, he is a slight favorite. I'm picking a Song as my bet this week at plus 120. I thought he's looked really impressive. Ricky Simone has looked impressive sometimes and not impressive others. Yadong's been pretty strong performances throughout, I think. And I'm taking him with underdog money against Ricky Simone this week.
Yeah, I'm gonna just my predictions for Ricky, just because I know how strong he is, how wrestling heavy and a bulldog he can be, and that's what I think maybe Song Yadong hasn't seen as much, because he's seen guys like Marlon Vera, he's seen other guys that'll stand up and try to bang with him, try to stay on the outside. I think Ricky might take the fight to him, put him against the fence, try to do takedowns, try to beat him up on the ground. That's the reason I'm picking Ricky, is if he's running on all cylinders and as strong as he normally is, I think he can smother and possibly even finish Song with a submission.
I'm thinking, like, wasn't the last time Ricky Simone went against the alpha male guy? Didn't he get knocked out by like a 45-year-old
Uriah Faber? Yeah. But I mean, that happens. That was also a long time ago, too.
That was back in 2019. Okay. Yeah. I think it'll be a good one.
Yeah. And then we moved to middleweights. Bruno Silva, Brad Tavares. And I have just not been impressed with Brad Tavares. I think the layoffs, I think getting older, he's not looked the same since the Israel fight or the Whitaker fight. And Bruno Silva, I mean, he survived fighting Alex Pereira, man. We got to remember that. And he had his moments with Alex Pereira, controlling him on the ground. Could do that with Tavares, and also he can knock people out, and Tavares is a guy that sometimes gets knocked out, so I would not be surprised, and I'm picking Bruno Silva to, you know, lay a bomb on Brad Tavares this weekend.
Lightweight, we've got Bobby Green and Jared Gordon.
Interesting.
Bobby Green, yeah, interesting fight. We just saw Jared Gordon come off a controversial loss to Paddy Pimblett.
Yep.
Bobby Green's been all over the place of late. Got finished by Drew Dober, had a fight against Islam Makhachev. Before that, he was on a crazy roll. We've seen him go up against Fazeev. A lot of fun opponents recently for Bobby Green. Don't know if Jared Gordon's the best dance partner, but I bet it'll be a fun fight.
Yeah, and the crazy thing that I always say is over 3 years ago, Bobby Green was retired. You know, weren't even talking about Bobby Green, and Bobby Green comes back and he just brings a storm with him into the lightweight division. And then on top of that, yeah, fights all these big names, names he was not fighting 5 years ago. And yeah, I don't think Jared's probably going to be the prettiest dancing partner, but anything can happen too. Bobby's gotten clipped before. Bobby's gotten submitted before. Same time, Bobby can outclass you with the boxing, the shoulder rolls, and he could completely controlled this fight for three rounds and made Jared Gordon look like, you know, a first time sparring partner. So it'll be interesting, but I definitely am going to lean to Bobby Green to control this fight. Just he's had so many damn fights and he's so smooth and so slick.
This is another long night of fights. We've got six on the main card and seven on the prelims for a total of 13 scheduled as of this moment. We'll see if they all stay on. Are there any other fights you want to talk about coming up this weekend?
Yeah, let me look on the prelims here. Interesting bantamweight fight. You know, Montel Jackson that just fought Cody Garbrandt. Cody Garbrandt was originally supposed to fight Ronnie Yaha. Ronnie got hurt. Ronnie's now back in there. He's an interesting bantamweight to where he's got a shit ton of skills, big time veteran, fought back in Strikeforce. He brings a lot of tools. I could see him running through Montel Jackson just because, but I also don't know what he's going to do with the big layoff and coming back from injury. Another one that I'm going to tune in for, man, is the heavyweight with Muhammad Usman, Usman's brother, big boy, fighting Junior Taffa. Junior Taffa goes in there, talk about reckless abandon, Ian Kutalaba style. He goes in there and just throws hands, and Muhammad Usman has bombs in his hands.
Junior Taffa fight.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah?
Yeah, back in the day when he had the big I'm sorry. This is the other Taffa's brother. Sorry, this is the younger brother. He got signed by the UFC. I apologize. His other brother was in the UFC that got the big knockout, that got knocked out a couple years back in New Zealand in his hometown. But this is his brother. I'm sorry, but he is fighting Usman. I'm interested to see what these heavyweights do. Plus, I'm interested to see what Usman does. Now that he's in the UFC, big heavyweight, got the Usman name. I'd love to see what he can do. And he's got experience now, man. And he's a big, big boy.
Yeah, should be some angers. Looks
like Justin Taffa. That's it. Justin Taffa's brother.
Yeah, he looks a lot like him.
Mm-hmm. They all do. They all look the same. They all look the same from over there, those big Samoans.
So yeah, that could be a banger. Anything else on this card or?
No, like you said, shit ton of fights, man. I mean, I'm glad it starts at 4, but yeah, that main card still starting at 7 o'clock. That's probably still going to be a late one if all those fights stay, but who knows? Somebody can miss weight, fight goes out, somebody doesn't make the fight. Again, not anywhere close to the fight night on paper that we just watched, but definitely tuning in for that headliner heavyweight because that matters a lot in that division.
All right, so we'll be tuning in and catch you next week.
Adios.